Right. Well, very nice to be here again. Thank you for your invitation. So, I'm going to read, just to begin with. No need to turn to it, obviously you can if you want. But from Colossians chapter 1, just to give a little bit of context. I'm going to be speaking about the real heart of the faith that we share this morning. And Paul wrote in this chapter, I'm going to pick it up at verse 24. He said, I rejoice what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christianity is more than just a set of ideas. It's more than a system of ethics. It's a relationship with God, but with God who's come to dwell in us. God who's come to dwell in our hearts. That's the glory. That's the distinctive that Christianity offers above all religions, that the God that we worship has come to dwell in everyone who is prepared to receive him. And that is the transforming power. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. And because I live, you will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me. And that's the thing that was the great promise that Christ made his first disciples, that you will be, I've put that wrong. You will be in me, and I will be in you. That's the great promise, that Christ will come and dwell with us. He spoke the same about the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is with you. You know he's with you because they knew him in Christ. But then he will be in you. And Jesus, he came on the day that he was raised from the dead. Could I just move these back a bit? Thanks. On the day he was raised from the dead, the first thing he did was he came to his disciples. And you just imagine, this is, you know, like the fulfillment of everything he wanted to do. He came to his disciples. He showed them himself to them, showed them that he was alive, and then he breathed upon them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that was the gift of the Father that he brought to them. That's what he'd been longing to give them. He'd been longing to give them this transformational power, this truth that dwells within, this reality and presence of the King of Kings dwelling in the heart of ordinary fallen human beings. At the heart of the gospel is Christ in us, living in you and me, in our ordinariness, in our smallness. And Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, said, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, if a person's not born again, if Christ hasn't come in, if they haven't made room, he's none of his, doesn't belong to him. That's the difference. That's the dividing line. That's the cutting edge between religious adherence and life in the Holy Spirit is Christ in me. So it's so important. I know, I could carry on and I will. But I just want to say, when I searched for God. We've had a great testimony there. I searched for God for many years, and I got closer and closer to Him. I was an atheist. I came from an atheist family, but I got closer and closer to Him. I began to read the Bible. After I started to read the Bible, I wanted to go to church, which Juliet didn't approve of at all. She liked everything about me, apart from this. Well, that's what she tells me. Apart from this terrible habit I had of dragging her off to churches. Anyway, we kept going to churches, and until we found a church. Well, I kind of gave up after a while. There was something there, but didn't touch my heart. But then we went to this one church where everybody was different. And you could see it. You could see it on their faces. You could see this wasn't a group of religious people. This was a group of transformed people. And a lot of them were young. So immediately we began to say, well, how have you got like this? You know, oh, everything changed for me when I was born again. My life was turned around when Christ came into my life. And I realized, because, after a while the penny dropped, I've got to do that. I read the Bible. I went to church. I prayed. I really did pray. But one morning, I was a professional artist, of sorts anyway, and I had a studio. And one Monday morning, I knelt down on the floor there. Juliet had gone to work, and I just said, come into my life. And I was born again at that moment. Everything changed. The God who'd previously been behind me, behind my back, was now in front of me. I could never have done that. I'd been looking for Him for 7 years. Every time I thought, He's there. No, He wasn't there. And then I thought, oh, He must be there. And He wasn't there. And He was. I couldn't find Him because He was behind my back all that time. And in fact, the book that I wrote about this whole thing, I called it Behind My Back. Because the God who was always behind me was now in front of me. And His love and His light were just healing my soul. I was born again on that day, 38 years ago, I think. And without the life of God within us, we're just trying our best. We're just, trying to be good, trying to be holy, trying to serve God. But the life transforms everything, transforms our outlook, gives us hope for the future, reassures us of forgiven sins. Everything is changed because of Jesus within. And that is so important for you and for me, for our individual salvation. Without it, there is no salvation. We're just hoping our best, I'm hoping that on the day of judgment, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. That's not going to get anybody into heaven, because our bad deeds are pretty bad. But I'm not going to speak. This is not an evangelistic message this morning. But what I want to say is, the importance of the life of God within us, because it is the key to our effectiveness. Without Christ in us, we're a people without a witness. Paul said, it pleased God to reveal His Son within me. Yeah, He revealed His Son, God the Father revealed Jesus to Paul. But then He revealed Him within him. And that was the secret of the most astounding missionary adventure that there's ever been. That Paul took this gospel in the face of kind of persecution, rejection. He took it right across the Mediterranean world because he was empowered by Christ within him. And when he wrote to the Corinthians, he and the Corinthians had this love-hate relationship. He said, look, you are a letter from Christ. He wanted to tell them what they had been called to. You're a letter from Christ written on the heart. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human heart. And, you know, if we're going to be effective as people for Christ, people need to see Jesus in us. They need to see a transformed life. And that's God's plan. That people read the gospel in what you are. Yeah? Obviously, of course, in what we say. But people will encounter Christ because there's a transparency in us. Because Jesus has begun to take more of our lives. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the most important thing that you can do. That's the most important thing that I can do, is to allow Christ to be seen. Jesus said, you know, that he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Let he who is thirsty come to me and drink. Because out of his being, out of his inner heart, will flow rivers of living water. You see, God is interested in what is on the inside of you and me. He's written on your heart. He's caused a spring to spring up in your heart. He's put eternal treasure in your heart. But that's where we get to the difficulty, because the Bible says we've got this treasure in earthen vessels. And although Christ lives within us, there's immense power. There's all of heaven. You know, I want to tell you this morning. I'm rushing a bit. I'm sorry. Conscious of time. Heaven lives in you. And that means that you're different. Means that you're not the same as the people who live in your street, or the people that you work with, or the people that are in your school. Now, I'm not saying that to cause us to be proud, far from it, but just to realize you are not just an ordinary person. Paul wrote to the Corinthians again, and he said, when you're quarreling, and when you're fighting, and you've got factions amongst you saying, well, I believe this and I believe that. Are you not acting like, well, the NIV Bible says, are you not acting like mere men? That there's no mere in the Greek text. Are you not acting like men? In other words, are you not acting just like ordinary men and women when you're acting like that? And the implication is, you're not just an ordinary man or an ordinary woman. You're more than that. You're a child of the King. You're a person with the glory over your life. You're a person who carries God. I want you to know that wherever you go, you take God with you. God's within you in whatever situation you're in. This is the most transformational truth that I know. That Christ said he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's with me. It's not just that he's by my side. It's not just that he's kind of watching over me with a super powerful heavenly binoculars. Aha, that's my boy. You know, he's within me and he's within you if you've received him. So it's a power that is within. You know, Peter wrote to the ladies, actually, 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, look, let your beauty not be, I'm looking around to see how this is going to be received, but this is the words of Peter. he said, let your beauty not be with braided hair or, you know, fancy jewels, but let it be the beauty of your inner self. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great value in the sight of God. The beauty of your inner self. The Greek text says, it's a very interesting phrase. That's NIV, inner self. That's 1 Peter 3:8, I think. He said, let your beauty be that of the hidden man of the heart. There's a hidden person in you. and in me. And it's the hidden man of the heart. I mean, he was talking to the women, but you know what I mean. The hidden man, the hidden person of the heart. There's a hidden you. And I'm not talking in some kind of Freudian psychoanalytical terms here, talking about, you know, your kind of repressed self. I'm not talking about that. In fact, I'm talking about exactly the opposite. You know, psychology talks about the subconscious, and the subconscious is usually murky and, you know, kind of pressed down in the kind of boggy depths of the things that we don't want to think about. Paul and Peter, the apostles, were not talking about that at all. They were talking that hidden in you is something glorious. As, you know, the treasure that I spoke about, the treasure. But it's in this earthen vessel. It's in our ordinariness. So if this is the case, what is God's plan? What does He want us to do? Well, I believe that He wants that inner man, that inner truth, the glory, to be revealed. To be revealed more and more. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, one of the great verses, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He would strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner man, in the inner being. This hidden person of the heart, the hidden person of the heart. God's plan is that that should be strengthened. That Christ should begin to live more and more in you and me. You know, sometimes we don't know. We get so used to living in the world that we don't know. Does that person belong to Christ? Are they different? Yeah, they could be. They could be. But there's some people who you say, ah, yeah, I can see Christ in that person right away. Because the inner man of the heart, the truth that is within, has been strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was Paul's prayer for them. Yeah, you've just come out of darkness. You've come into light. You've come out of paganism. You've come out of idolatry. You've come out of immorality. Yeah, and all these things are around you. His prayer was, I pray now that what is within you might begin to grow and might begin to develop, and that you might get stronger on the inside. Because the truth is, we have an inside and we have an outside. And we present the outside to the world. And we're so keen to try to change the outside, we forget that God's plan is to change the inside. He wants to change you on the inside. And because wherever I speak, I want to be practical. I want to give you just three ways that we can cooperate with the Spirit of God. That we can build up what is inside. Because, you know, cooperation is what God calls for us. Calls for from us. It's the way the kingdom works. God initiates, but we cooperate. And it's in the cooperation that we begin to change. Because we're applying our heart, we're applying our will and our purpose. We're lining ourselves up with what God wants. The scripture says, you may be strengthened in your inner being with power by the Spirit. Yes, okay, God, do it. And that's good to say that. Let it begin in me. And if you don't take anything away from this sermon this morning, yeah, just say, let it begin in me. There's power in that. But I think the Bible goes further, and the Bible gives us practical keys as to how we are going to be strengthened with power. And I want to give you just three keys, just as I bring this to a close. And they're very simple ones. And they're all based on the concept of what in the older versions of the Bible is called edification. The New International speaks about building up. The Greek word is oikodomia, which means to build a house. Oikos is a house. Is it? Yes. No, it's not. Demos is a house, I think. But it means to build a house. I'm forgetting my Greek. Means to build a house. And you build a house one brick on top of another. You see, you can say, well, I know I fall short. I know I can't control my thoughts sometimes. I know I can't control my actions sometimes. How am I ever going to change? And we're all looking for the magic bullet, you know, the golden switch. One day I was hopeless wreck. Now I'm a victorious man of God. That may be true for some of us, but for most of us, we're going to be changed bit by bit, one brick on top of another. God's going to build up the inner heart of you and me, just gradually, bit by bit. Yeah, I'm going to begin to grow just a little bit today. And then I'll grow just a little bit tomorrow if I allow God to do it. And so Paul, there's just three instances of this term of edification. When the first is that I want to bring to your attention. The first is when Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. They're all kneeling there together on the beach. Everybody's weeping. And he says, I'll never see you again. Because he was on his way, stopping from at Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, where he knew, I think, that he would, that, I don't know, the end times of his life would start to be put into gear. And of course, then he went to Rome. He never went back to Ephesus again. And he said this, now, I commend you to God. If he's in Acts chapter 20 it is. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's the word of his grace. Let me just say that to you. I mean, I'm a person who, my whole ministry is based on the Bible. I think there's power in the Bible. I think there's power in those words. Just to expose your heart to those eternal words. You know, the Bible says that of itself, that its origin was in heaven. Yeah? The whatever it is, the flowers fall, etc. And the world will pass away. But the word of our Lord endures forever. It was outbreathed by God, this power in this word. And if you will allow the word of God to touch your heart, it will build you up. It's food. So many Christians that I've seen in 30 years of ministry are weak because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they've got. They don't know what God said about them. They don't know that God has committed himself to us. Yeah? He entered into a covenant. The covenant sealed by his blood on the cross, that we might be his children. God is committed to you. But that truth will become real as it's refreshed in our heart. And I just want to point out that he said it's the word of his grace that will build you up. It's the grace of God, the love of God. It's the goodness of God. It's not the word which is applied like a law. It's not Christian legalism. It's not, well, you mustn't do this and you mustn't do that and you mustn't do the other and you mustn't act like this and you mustn't go there and you mustn't think this and it's a straitjacket. Yeah. And so many young people today have felt the church, well, goodness me, I've got a life to live. I don't want to do that. But the word of his grace builds you up. The word of grace, which is forgiveness, unmerited love. It's the chesed of the Old Testament, you know, the beauty of God, the favor of God. God is for me. Yeah, get up in the morning and shout it out. Yeah, hallelujah. Today, God is for me. And Paul wrote, you know, he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's the word. That's the truth. If I believe that God is for me, then I start to feed the inner man. Because the inner man, in so many of us, He's afraid to come alive because he doesn't know what he's going to encounter. You know, if I allow the Spirit to stir within me, what kind of problems will that give me? Well, it might give you a bag of problems, but I tell you what it will give you is it'll give you victory. It'll give you hope. It'll give you life. It'll give you strength. It'll cause you to look at tomorrow, not with despair, but with anticipation, because who knows what God can do. You know, Paul said, I delight in insults and persecutions, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He was looking at things absolutely back to front to most of us. We don't delight in persecutions and difficulties, but he said, I do because of this one thing, because I know that this power within me will have an opportunity to be exercised in the face of those difficulties. The unexpected, the unanticipated will come into being because God will take control where I cannot. Where I'm weak, he will prove himself strong. And that's the grace of God. It's the word of God which is his grace. But he also said something else that's going to build you up. And I'm conscious that this is not a charismatic fellowship, but I want to tell you this as it is in the word of God. He said, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you will build yourself up. You will build up the inner man. Prophecy edifies the church. And we'll just finish with that in a moment. But he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He's beginning to build himself up or herself up. I want to say this to you, brothers and sisters, that God's given us a toolkit. And the toolkit is the gifts of the Spirit. And those gifts are given to help us. You know, for many years, I've just only ever bought my second electric drill. I had one for 30 years. We used to have tradesmen come to our house, pour scorn on my Black & Decker. But it was fantastic. It was a power tool that I used to put up cupboards, build a couple of kitchens for Juliet, sheds and all kinds of things. I could never have done it with the hand tool. You see, God has given us a toolkit. Now, that you know, you might think here, oh, it's a bit dangerous, this speaking in tongues, divisive. Well, your house is wired for electricity, isn't it? Yeah, so is mine. I once brushed against an open dangling cable. I don't know if you've had a 240-volt shock. It's quite a bang. Very dangerous electricity. But we couldn't live without it. I don't think I'd want to. I mean, very romantic. And we used to have this dream of living this kind of regressive life with candles and things. But now I just like to switch the light on. Yeah? The power is there. And God has made available to us power. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude 1:20 wrote this. He wrote this. And it's recorded in 1, you know, verse 20. He said, you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I don't think he meant just kind of passionate prayer. I think he meant prayer in the Spirit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, we quote him week in and week out. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I'll pray with the mind, but I'll also pray with the Spirit. I'll sing with my mind, but I'll also sing in the Spirit. You see, Paul he understood that we cannot get down here through our mind. Because our mind is faulty, it's flawed, it's tiny. It cannot encompass the things of God. But when, you see, the disciples were born again of the Spirit on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. But 5 weeks later, they were anointed with the Spirit. They were empowered with the Spirit. They were baptized in the Spirit. I've just come back from the Elim Pentecostal Conference, because I'm an Elim minister. And that conference there is celebrating 100 years of the Elim Pentecostal Church. to the move of the Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit, characterized by people being baptized and the gifts being released, especially speaking in tongues, is over 100 years old. 1915, the Elam Pentecostal Church was started. The move of the Spirit came about about 1908, somewhere between 1905 and 1908. But all I'm saying is that that move of the Spirit has been in the world for over 100 years, and it's produced fruit everywhere it's gone. We might say, oh, I don't want to speak in an unknown tongue. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to build up yourself? Seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this last point is germane to this. Paul said, build one another up. Build one another up. You know, he wrote it several times. That's our function. So what am I supposed to do in the church? Well, I'm here to build you up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to strengthen you. I need you. You need me. We can't do this without one another. But in particular, we do it through the prophetic gift. Now, I realize my time's gone. But it would take me a long time to unpack this, and I'm not really going to try. But all I want to say to this church, everything has been said to individuals so far. I've been speaking to you as an individual. You're the one with the treasure inside. Build it up. You're the one with a new life. Strengthen that new life. Release it. But the church will build itself up. Your ministry to me and mine to you is to speak the word of God to one another. Because I need to hear from God. And Paul said, when we speak, anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. But he who speaks prophetically speaks to us, speaks to man. For what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I need to hear that. In a church that hasn't got the word of God, our sister here, sorry, I've forgotten your name, was saying, You heard God speak to you. I want you to step up. Yeah. And all this ministry's come because you listen to God. That's the characteristic of what God is doing today. We're starting to learn to hear from God. Let me say to you, brothers and sisters, start to listen. What's God saying to this church here? What's God saying to you? The ministry of prophecy will confirm what God is saying. It's not the whole thing. We need the written word, the prophetic word. We need the testimony of other believers. But prophecy will build you up. Build up this inner man of the heart. So that what I began with, Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be a reality. And not just a text to put on the wall. Yeah? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for every good gift you've made available to us in Christ Jesus. And we want to pray for one another now. That which you've placed in us, that which you've entrusted to us, that which you've committed to us, might not just lie kind of on the shelf where it's always lain in our hearts. But we might take up this treasure that's beyond price. Christ himself. And that we might dust it down, as it were. I know that's kind of a bit back to front, but we might begin to honor your life in us and in one another. And that we might, each one of us, be strengthened with your power through your Spirit in our innermost being. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Tom.